Well, good morning. If you have a Bible, if you would turn with me to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 4, Matthew 4, from verse 18. It says this: As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Lord, I want to ask this morning that you would allow your Spirit to rest on us in a powerful way. Today is Vision Sunday. I ask you, Lord, that you would envision us as a church and that you would allow me as your servant and your son to speak your words with boldness and authority, with humility and grace. I want to ask you, Lord, that you would call us onto the playing field in a very real way this morning. And I pray that you would use this time to do it. I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, these are a couple of rough and tumble fishermen. Now think, if you're going to start a movement, do you want this kind of ruffian as your core group? But this is the start of a movement. These guys have got scruffy beards. They are scraggly. There's four of them in all. They put the raw in raw material. And this is the starting place for the mission that's going to change the world. These guys got up that morning, went out fishing, thinking that their lives were going to be the same as they always have been, that they have got up in the morning, they cast their nets out, they fished, they cleaned the nets, they cleaned the fish, they sold the fish. But this morning was different. They woke up thinking that they were going to do the mundane, and they, at the end of the day, they were world changers. They were on the team to change the world. That wasn't their expectation, but it is what happened. It happened because Jesus hijacked them into God's bigger story. God has been doing something ever since the creation of the world. That there's a giant story of the things that God is doing. We have it recorded here in the Bible, but it didn't stop on the last pages of the Bible. The Bible records the story of God from the beginning, and these things that God is doing, these purposes that he's accomplishing, and in the end, heaven and earth are going to be once more united. But up until that point in time, there's a giant story that's going on. And then you and I, like Peter, James, John, and Andrew, when we come to him and we hear his voice saying, come and follow me, we're hijacked into that bigger story. That you are, as it were, vacuumed into this story. And so now, if you have put your trust in Christ, you are now part of a bigger story. Before, you just had your puny little small story, and you still might feel like that your story is just this little bitty thing, inconsequential, insignificant. But when you said yes to Jesus to follow him, you were brought into a bigger story, and that story is a world-changing, life-changing, creation and time-changing story. It always has been, and it always will be. When that gets a hold of a person, it changes everything. When that gets a hold of you, it changes everything. It is what changed Christina. It's what changed Margaret. It's what changed me. And it's just like getting married in many ways, because you stand in front of somebody and you make these vows. You have no idea what you're doing, and you spend the rest of your life working out the implications of that. But it is very much like that, Jesus said, come and follow me. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, they had no idea what they were saying yes to, but they said yes and they followed Jesus. Now they're in that bigger story. I've been watching this rather dark program called The Expanse. It's a sci-fi channel series. And it depicts a vision of Earth and Mars 200 years in the future. 100 years in the future, we colonize Mars. But Earth is continuing to kind of do its own thing and devolve into this fierce individualism, and it's all about me, and so society, because it's all about me, has just continued to decay and deteriorate. On the other hand, The people that went to Mars to colonize Mars have been there 100 years, and by doing so, having to terraform this, you know, make this planet habitable, they've had to work as one, with one purpose. And because of that, they all of their jobs have mattered, and all of them are working together with a great focused effort. I believe that that's what the church is supposed to be. That we're supposed to be a group of people that are working on something together that's going to change the world. That's God's call to us. That's the reason why 21 years ago, Becky and I moved down to Temecula. We didn't move down here just because we wanted to make a bunch of people happy. No, a bunch of people being happy would be the byproduct of a change the world agenda. Now, if you want to change the world, if you want to be in God's world-changing business, it will mean a lot of frustration. It's the reason why a lot of people aren't in it, right? Christina, has everything gone just beautifully? Blessing upon blessing, glory to glory. No, it isn't. No, and in the New Testament church, you find that there are all kinds of obstacles. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that a wide door for me has been opened for ministry in this place, and there are many adversaries. So a wide door and adversaries, and those go together, that's God's best, absolutely. That's how God works. God is calling you and I into His larger purposes. He wants our vision to be beyond the daily grind. Like Peter, it's beyond fish and nets. Now, Jesus actually uses his fishing metaphor and basically says, you're just going to be fishing for a different catch. But for you and I, it means that we stop just living the grind for the sake of a paycheck. And we start living for the purpose of changing things with the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? That's us. God has called us individually and He's called us corporately to be in the business of world changing. That's what the message of the kingdom of heaven come means. It means that things don't stay the same. It means that where we go, things change. It means that where we go, hearts are moved. It means that where we go, that we eliminate things that need eliminating, that things blossom that are supposed to be blossomed, that we get might get beat up on the way, might get rejected. It's all part of the package. God has been speaking to me about our vision, and I think a little bit more than our vision. I normally give a vision message about this time of year every year. And this year, what I believe that the Lord has been speaking has more to do with not just vision. It's vision, but it's charter material. It's DNA. It's core DNA material. And it's contained basically in just three words. Three words. And so these are the ones that you will write at the top of your bulletin. That's the only fill in the blanks I'm going to make you do today. Those three words are pray, grow, and go. Pray, grow, go. Would you say that with me? Pray, grow, and go. Now, God spoke these things to me in a whole bunch of different ways, and how He spoke them is actually instructive. The pray part of this whole thing came out of our discussions in our Antioch Bible School that we have, our Bible college that we have, that we host here on campus. That as we discuss these things, we're looking at the forward movement of the church, and the curriculum is basically sort of leading us into this idea that if we structure things in a certain way, sort of gleaning from the New Testament in terms of how they structured things, that we will have then the same result. And it just fried me. It just so made me angry. And as we kept discussing and we kept looking at this, it just says, this is not it. It's not if we structure things that we'll get the right result. That's very American thinking. That you get the right steps and then it all falls into place. That's not kingdom thinking. No, what we see as you look at the book of Acts in this is that they prayed and they responded to God and God moved and things happened. And that's how the early church moved. That's how the early church grew. Listen to this, and this is just a sampling. They prayed after Peter and John were released from arrest, and the Spirit of God fell on them, and then they all went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. They prayed for people to receive the Spirit's anointing, and they did. They received it. They prayed, and Peter prayed and saw a great vision that opened up the gospel to Gentiles, to non-Jewish people throughout the world. Cornelius, a Roman Gentile non-Jew, prayed and God sent Peter to preach the gospel to them. And while Peter is preaching, the Spirit of God falls on all of them, actually sort of interrupts Peter's preaching. The Antioch church was, it says, worshiping and fasting, which is worshiping and praying. And the Spirit told them to commission Paul and Barnabas for the mission. They fasted, they prayed, and they sent them out. Paul and Silas prayed and sang hymns while in jail in Philippi. And there was an earthquake that God released them and rescued them. And they led the jailer and his family to Christ in the midst of the whole thing. They prayed, they listened, God moved, the church grew. Pray. Prayer is at the core. And the early church was not effective because of program or technique or ways to do things. They were effective because they prayed. Pray. That's the first one. Grow. Grow came to me primarily through a relationship. That is a relationship with my friend and coworker and partner in crime, Tony Chernus. Tony is grow personified. Tony is all about growing people. He drips grow. He sweats grow. He breathes grow. He prays grow. And he gives his time personally to growing as a disciple himself and to helping other people grow as disciples. Grow. 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 Say that with me. Grow. Grow as a disciple. And also the Lord has been speaking to me through notable authors like Dallas Willard and Jim Smith and John Ortberg. But it's everywhere in the New Testament. Disciples grow. That's what they do. And then God spoke go to me through a dream. As I said, I have a prophetic dream about every 5 years, whether I need one or not. I guess I was on my five-year plan now. And the Lord spoke to me, and I was sitting in a large auditorium filled with people sitting in school desks. You know, those desks with the desks that wrap around like that. Everyone was sitting down. And I knew in the dream that I was up to speak next, and I was sitting down and I wrote on a piece of paper, go, exclamation point, big underline, and then after that, go stop sex trafficking. Go feed the hungry, go end hunger, go preach the gospel, go. And I just started listing all of these different things, and then I was up to speak and the dream ended, and I'm like, I think I get it. I'm slow, but I think I get it. Go. Say that with me. Go. We've been employing, and we'll be taking these down pretty soon, but we've been employing this metaphor that you see on both banners on both sides of the sanctuary, that we're moving from a cruise ship mentality to an aircraft carrier mentality. A cruise ship mentality is that the staff and the workers exist for the pleasure and the comfort and the leisure of those who are on board. We're having dinner on the Lido deck now. But an aircraft carrier, everybody has a job, and everybody's job matters in terms of the overall mission of what the carrier is supposed to be about. And that is a much better picture of what the Church of Jesus Christ is intended to be. America, Ghana, Europe, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the context. That's what the Church is intended to be. On mission, together, everybody's job matters. Everybody has a core basic set of training, and then everybody has a bit of specialized training to go and do what they are supposed to be doing to contribute to the overall mission. Are you with me so far? And so we are kissing cruise ship goodbye. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't go on a vacation and go on a cruise ship. It just means that as a church, we're kissing cruise ship goodbye. Pray, grow, go. Say it with me again. Pray, grow, go. Not real difficult, not rocket science. I want to break these down a little bit at a time. Pray. God wants us to become praying persons more so than we are. Now, some of you already are excellent at this, but most of us aren't. And that God also wants us to become a praying church, that we as a people are a praying people. In Acts chapter 4, early on in the development of the early church, right after Jesus has died, been raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, the Spirit came, and the early church was born, this is what it says in chapter 4. After they prayed, and this is, you know, Peter and John have been arrested and they were released, and after they prayed, and the church goes to pray, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just the 12, but all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with great boldness. Now, in most of your Bibles, there's a break here, you know, that says, then the early church, you know, what's happened in the early church. There's no break in the Greek. So this all goes together. So it says, after they prayed, the place where there was meeting was shaken, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word with God with boldly. All the believers were of one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. Why? Because they prayed. They prayed. They were a people of prayer. You look at the movement of the gospel forward and you see that this is a praying people. This is a people that are dependent on God. And I think that all of us would say that prayer matters, wouldn't you? All of us would agree with that. That we, at some point in time, have prayed and God has responded and it was boom, you know, wow, God. God responded to my prayer. And it's those people that say, at least for a season, you know, prayer works. But then we forget. And we can tend to let life sort of happen to us and we coast and we sort of forget that there is this symbiotic relationship between prayer and the kingdom coming. That's the reason why Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, let heaven come down. And there's a relationship between us asking, us continuing to pray that, and us continuing to see that. And there's a relationship between those two things that cannot be discounted. And Jesus has said to us, I want you to become praying people. I want you to see the connection between your asking and the kingdom coming. Between your asking, me leading, me furnishing resources to you in the kingdom coming. I want you to see that relationship so that you don't miss that. Because the enemy wants to get you out of that game. Because if he does, then you just are responsible for everything that happens. But if you're praying, God is responsible for what happens. And you just get to be a part of it. I've told this story before, but years ago, Daniel was a little boy, my oldest. It's a little boy, and we had this big Electrolux vacuum cleaner, you know, a canister with a big hose and everything. And Daniel's like, let's vacuum the carpet before mom gets here. And we lived in this condo with white carpet, giant mistake with a new, you know, with a baby. And so Daniel grabs a hold of the, you know, the big long neck of the vacuum and is doing this. I'm reaching around him, and I am, you know, he's casually directing. He thinks that he's just all that. And we get done vacuuming the entire place. I was exhausted. It's so hard to actually do that. But that's much more akin to what this looks like. You pray, you think that you're responsible for all the results, but God is doing all the heavy lifting. That God is the one who's the primary mover. He's the one that's doing the world changing, but you and I get to be, as it were, gloves on the hand that's changing the world. That's us. And that happens by us becoming praying people. We aim in 2016 and beyond that to become a people who are strong in prayer. Not who just have this as a component that some of us do and some of us don't, like the commandos do, the special forces people do these things, but the rest of us, we just let the special forces people do what they do. No, we're all going to be at some level special forces people. All of us. But we need to become not just praying people, we need to become a praying church. So that no matter what happens, we pray. Something, a need arises, we pray. A natural catastrophe comes, we pray. Someone gets shot, we pray. Someone has a tragic thing that happens in their lives. What do? We pray. It's the best thing that we've got. I can't tell you how many times that has mattered in the public arena. It doesn't matter where. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. But somebody says, oh, this and that's going on. And it's like, oh, let me pray for you. And they're like, what? And I have Christians saying that. What? Like, why? How would that help anything? I just want to go lean into this. What are you saying? We need to become a praying people so that when we say, and we're going to have some of our prayer folk concoct what we're going to be doing going forward in this, because I have it, but I believe that the Lord doesn't want me to furnish all the imagination in this. Actually, He wants you to furnish the imagination in this. And so I'm just going to say that I think we need to have some prayer meetings where everybody shows. And we need to have some prayer vigils. And maybe as a church, we fast. Not eat. That's what that means. But that as a church, we need to become a praying people. And as we pray, we are saying very definitely, Lord, we are depending on You for anything eternally significant to happen. We are not depending on ourselves. Prayer is faith in action. You know that you have faith because you pray. And the purposes of God, if you will, go forward. I'm going to say this, and you might want to challenge this, but I'm going to say it anyway because I have the mic. But the purposes of God go forward because someone prayed the prize. Somebody prayed. Most of you are in this building and have put your trust in Christ because someone prayed you in. How many of you know who it was? How many? That's a lot of you. A lot of you know the people that prayed you in. All the rest of you that don't know, there was somebody that did. You just don't know it yet. And you'll meet them on the other side of the grave here. Oh, you did that? Yeah. Someone prayed the price. Years ago, the Lord told us in Boston, I was pastoring in Boston, He told us to walk the neighborhoods and pray and call out to Him for these people, for their marriages, for their families, for their salvation, for the kingdom to come. And so we started walking. We got up on Saturday morning, and it started out with 75 of our church people and dwindled down to about 25. But we went and we met in different neighborhoods. We went and walked. And even when the church wasn't doing it, I was just walking. I walked in snow. I walked in heat. I just walked the neighborhoods and cried out to God and continued to cry out to Him. And about a year and a half later, doing practically the same thing that we were doing before, the Lord just turned on the spigot and people started coming to Christ right and left, right and left. And first Sunday, I gave an invitation. Four people came to Christ. The next Sunday, eight. The next Sunday, five. The next Sunday, two. The next Sunday, five. Over a 14-month period of time, we saw 180 people, brand new babes, people that had never set foot in a church before, come to Christ. Why? Because we did it right? Because we didn't do it right. I was a bungling idiot. I still am. It doesn't depend on our smartness. It depends on our faith made manifest by us praying. Do you hear that? And so how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that as a church? How are we going to become a praying church? Well, one, we're going to start, I don't know if you've noticed, you probably haven't, or maybe you have, maybe you're celebrating this, but I've been preaching shorter. And I'm trying to get down to 35 minutes. I'm kind of 37, and this morning I'm giving myself some grace because it's Vision Sunday. But the reality is that I need to hone what I'm saying into a shorter amount of space so that we can integrate some other components. We are going to start praying as a normal part of our service. We're going to ask God how He wants us to do that, and we and the worship team and other different leaders, we're going to actually, we might be breaking up into groups for 5 minutes and praying, or we might be as a church praying, and we might be having people come down front and pray for them. But whatever it is that the Lord leads us to, we will do it, but we will make this a normal part of our lives, and we will model this for you so that you know what we're talking about when we say pray. Prayer is more about passion than it is about polish. It's more about audacity and impact than it is about saying everything right. So therefore, Mark is actually starting a prayer class tonight. Imagine that. And actually, the Lord spoke to him before I even said anything about this. We're going to learn how to pray together. Pray. Pray, grow, go. The second one is grow. And when I say grow, there's a number of different dimensions, but what I believe that the Lord has focused us in on is four particular dimensions. It goes like this. That God is calling us to grow as individual disciples, to make that commitment, to really invest in that. God is calling us to grow as a community. That is, that we're moving toward each other. I'll get into that a little bit more. And God has called us to grow the community. That is, that he wants us to invite more people in. And God has called us to grow in mission. So let me pick these apart for just a moment. At the heart of being a disciple is growing. At the heart of being a disciple is growing. A disciple, by definition, is an apprentice or a pupil of a master. And that apprentice or pupil is being taught, grown, shaped, formed, empowered, equipped. And that's the heart of the whole discipleship arena. We're in a growing arena. And it's not just a come to Sunday morning, get a good meal, be inspired, go home, live your life the way that you did before. That's not discipleship. Discipleship filters its way into the every corner and every part of our being. Jesus didn't call us to be disciples so that we could go to heaven when we die and in between time just have a good ride. No, instead, what he did, and this is what he said to his apprentices, he said in Matthew 28, go and make other apprentices. So Jesus wants more apprentices, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them or immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey, that is, guard or keep your eyes on everything that I have commanded you. So Jesus wants more apprentices. He wants more apprentices. He wants more disciples. He doesn't want more people that have just prayed the prayer. He wants more disciples. I'm going to say that one more time. He doesn't just want more people that have prayed the prayer, the sinner's prayer. He wants more disciples. The commission is not for converts. The commission is for disciples. Important to say that, because I think that a lot of times we're trying to get people into heaven and God's trying to get heaven into people. It really is that big of a difference. Jesus wants more disciples. He wants more apprentices who are completely immersed in the three-in-one God, that are involved in the fellowship who is God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who are immersed in a whole new way of living and are careful to live in it. Growing and growth is a lifestyle. It's a commitment. It's a verb. It's something that we apply ourselves to. I read an interesting book called Journey to the Inner Chamber, and the first part of it, and it's a smarmy sort of I like it, but it's dorky. You know how sometimes you read a book and you're like, I kind of like the ideas here, but this is a little dorky. The book starts out with a metaphor. Lost person is out in Lostville. I'm making it more tacky than it actually is. And influencer comes and influences lost person in Lostville and brings lost person to the moat in that is across from the kingdom. And there's a drawbridge, but influencer can't take lost person across the drawbridge. Lost person must decide. And lost person decides and goes across the drawbridge, and when he does, he's met by mentor. And mentor grabs him and starts just showing him around, and finally they get to this big dining hall. And the dining hall is this giant long table, and at the beginning of the table there are some people who are sort of being spoon-fed, and that's actually where former lost person, who's now found person, is seated there, but he doesn't really even know how to take in this stuff, and so mentor spoon-feeds him. But as he works his way down over time down the table, there are richer and more fine cuisine as it goes down, but stuff that's harder to digest, and you have to have an appetite for it. But as the former lost person, who's now the found person, moves down that table over time, they become self-feeding, self-policing, self-growing, responsible, other-oriented people who are people of substance and character who go out and serve others. Do you hear that metaphor? It's a little dorky, but it works for me. Why? Because it asks the question, where are you? Where are you? Some of you have been in church your whole life, but you are still on food that's been chopped up very fine. Where are you? Are you self-feeding, self-policing, other-oriented. When I say self-policing, you know what I mean. It means that you treat your own sin seriously and that you repent and you go and find people that will hold you accountable and you walk faithfully in that because you know yourself and you know your weaknesses. Where are you? I think it's important for you to establish where you are, because if you don't know where you are, you'll never really seek help. You'll think that coming to church on Sunday morning is all there really is. And then you'll add to that, wow, maybe I go to a Bible study during the week, or maybe I listen to K-Wave and I listen to some teaching or something, and wow, that's supplementing me and I'm really becoming a disciple. And I want to say to you, it's more than that. It's more than that. I'm not trying to get you to work harder. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that you need to identify where you are so that you know what you need to do to grow. Because Jesus is about disciples, and disciples grow. And they don't grow by accident. Grow. Jesus wants us to grow as people. He wants us to grow as a community. He doesn't just want us to grow and this be a fiercely independent little American enterprise. No, he wants us to grow in communities. So that means that we are growing closer to one another. And I want to say to you that the playing field of growth is in relationship with other people. If you are a monk and you're all by yourself, you don't really have to grow your character because you don't have anybody that's testing it. But you get in a group like this with a bunch of porcupines, and you try to get close to each other on a cold winter's night, you just start getting poked by other people. And God says, I'm working in this. I'm working. You grow by taking, instead when someone offends you, instead of saying, I'm going to take my toys and I'm going to go to another church down the street, you say, I'm going to go work it out. I'm going to forgive from the heart. And then I'm going to have those hard conversations, and maybe I have to have more than one. I'm going to work it out. And at the end of the working it out, you're a different person than you were before, and you have a different relationship than you did before. And so God is calling each one of us in 2016 in various different ways into greater experiences and commitments to his people in interpersonal relationship. I like the way that Tony said it this last week. He said, you know, part of it might be just closing the gap so that when you come in to sit somewhere, that you actually go sit next to somebody rather than finding a seat that's as far away from everybody as you can find. Now, come on, be honest. Look at that. I mean, as I'm looking out here, there's a lot of space here. Now, that's not condemning you. It's just saying we're Americans. We go into a movie theater and we pick a seat and we want a seat on either side of us. We like that. It makes us feel comfortable. It's just not family. And this is a family. I like it when my kids come home for a holiday or for a weekend or for any time. If I'm sitting on the couch, they come and plop themselves down right next to me and actually take some of the space I was previously occupying. And I'm totally delighted with that. Now you, I don't know. But I'll get used to it because it's part of what God has called me to be close to you, you to me, you to each other. Do you hear what I'm saying? To love and be loved, to know and be known, to celebrate and to be celebrated. Take further steps into community, grow in community. Thirdly, grow the community. That is to say that there are empty chairs all over this. Look at the empty chairs around here, and I want you to look at the empty chairs and then close your eyes and imagine every single one of them filled with somebody that's in your life who you care about but doesn't care about God yet. They belong in those seats. Not because we are trying to grow a big church, but because living things grow. And because we care. We grow the community. We become bringers and includers. We just, when we're talking with somebody, we just grab a hold and say, why don't you come to church with me? And I'll help you interpret it. If they've never been to church before, I'll meet you outside. We'll get a seat. We'll try to get a seat that has a separator seat between other people. And I'll help you interpret what's going on. I'll decrypt the Christian thing that's going on, but because I want you to see the value of it. And you help them, and you incorporate them in your life. Do you see what I'm saying? So grow as disciples, grow into community more, grow the community, and the last one is grow in mission. And that moves us into the last one, that is go. Pray, grow, go. Say it with me one more time. I just want you to get this down. Pray, grow, and go. This is what Jesus is trying to do with us. Go. Not stay, go. Christina went. Margaret is going to Ghana at the end of this month. Then she's going to go and serve on mercy ships in the next summer. Go. Listen to what the scripture says. Jesus, as I read before, said, go make disciples. Matthew, in chapter 10, he says, go to the lost, confused people here in the neighborhood and tell them that the kingdom is here. Now, you go, in Matthew 22, go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see. Go home to your family and tell them everything that the Lord has done for you and how merciful He has been. Go everywhere in the world and tell everyone the good news. I like that one because of the every. Everywhere, everyone. So who's exempt? That's right. So is there somebody out there that, even though you don't like them, that the Lord doesn't? No, everybody. Go to everybody, everywhere, and tell them the good news. And then Jesus is talking a parable about a great banquet that's being thrown. And it says, the master said to the servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and urge the people there to come so that my house will be full. My house will be full. In Acts chapter 5, so now we're in early Churchville, he said, go stand in the temples. This is an angel speaking. Go and stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life. And then at the end of the book of John, he sums it up so well. He says to his disciples after his resurrection, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Here's the truth. You are not saved just so you can go to heaven. You're saved so that you could change things on this planet. I'm not just trying to be a motivational speaker here. This is true. And until you get some kind of vision for that, you will stay safe. But you were never intended to stay safe. Perhaps you've heard that phrase before, that ships are safe in the harbor. But that's not what ships are for. And that's you. That's you. The Lord says to us, go. It means gaining a vision for what God is doing outside of you, and then joining God in that vision. Sometimes you'll be the one that's the initial mover. Sometimes you'll just be one that joins something, a programming already in progress. But whatever that it is, you're joining God in His world-changing business. So let me ask you a question. If we wanted to end sex trafficking, how would we go about doing it? Well, some of you might be thinking something like this. Bob, I don't know. Someone else will figure it out. No. Think. You can't put this on someone else. That's what everyone else is doing. That we're saying, well, someone else will think these thoughts. Someone else will go out and do this. But that's not God's best for us, is it? No, God said that you might be small in your own eyes, but I am going to work with you to bring my kingdom to the ends of the earth. That's what God is saying to us. But we must be committed to go when God says go. So Christina, beautifully, she went and bought a passport because somebody said, go do it. She had no idea what she was doing. And then he said, you're going to be off soil. And then she just started to look, because by those two things, by going and buying a passport and somebody even just saying, get ready, now she starts looking around for what God might want to do, and it changes the whole perspective of life. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? An older gentleman was walking along a seashore one day, and the sun was hot. And as he walked down, he was sweating profusely and he seemed to be in a hurry. At practically every step, he would bend over, pick up a starfish, and wing it as hard as he could from the hot sands out into the cool waves. And he did it over and over and over and over again. And there was a young man out on the beach that was watching it. And after a while, after seeing this guy expend all of this energy, the young man walks up to him and says, "You know, you're wasting your time and your energy. You can't possibly make a serious dent into all of this, for all these starfish that are washing up on the shore." And he bent back down and he grabbed another one and another one. And on the third one, he looked up at the young guy and he said, "Made a difference for that one." I think that we think that if it's God, it has to be something gigantic. But Christina, you have 7 girls, 11, that you've stolen from sex trafficking. Yes! Yeah. Now, I don't know, Christina, you have at least persona-wise, you seem more Clark Kent than Superman. You know, a little bit more soft-spoken. And probably with the rest of the soft-spoken people here would say, "Well, you know, I'm just not bold and obnoxious like you, Bob." Hallelujah. But the reality is that God has used her in her unique way to end sex trafficking for 11 women so far. How are we going to do this? God has said, "I want you to go." So how are we going to do this? What are we going to do together to see this happen? Well, one of the things that we're going to do in terms of changing, because I believe that our Sunday morning services need to reflect these realities at some level. And so we're going to incorporate prayer, and then we're going to start using the end of our services as a commissioning point rather than as just a go get some Panera bread, and get some prayer if you want. But we're going to start using that as a commission point to say, when you leave this place, you leave to go change the world. We'll start this morning. But we're going to start calibrating ourselves so that we go back fueled up into the marketplace, into the schools, into our homes, into our extended families, into our neighborhoods, into our work, wherever that it is that we're going to go and we're going to bring the kingdom of God. And we're going to start calibrating our lives toward that. We're also, and I'm quite excited about this, we're going to have Tom and Joanne Davis, who are the directors for E3 Partners, the organization that Robin Young works with. Doyle, I knew that, yeah. But the reality is that they are putting their lives on the line all the time. They're out there doing Muslim missions, sharing the gospel openly with Muslims. Now, they're not being stupid. They're trying to be wise as they can. But the Lord is doing all kinds of work through them. We have them here on Palm Sunday. I am ecstatic. We're going to try to maximize that weekend by having them do a bunch of stuff with us on that weekend. But we have them coming. I believe that the Lord has told me that I'm supposed to go back to India. I used to go on mission trips to India, but I'm going to go to India this year. Where are you going to go? I believe that the Lord wants us to grow our outreach efforts. We're going to participate with about 30 other churches by doing a city serve, an event we're calling City Serve, where we're going to take a whole weekend and we're going to go partner with 30 other churches in our area and go do service events throughout the entire valley. And we're going to lock arms and make an impact in our community that way. And I'm excited about that. Melissa and Tim are, and actually Miranda actually is a part of that as well. And are you doing that too? And Jill, so probably a lot more of you than I know about. And I love not knowing about good things that are going on here. We are also going to launch, finally, we're going to launch Lighthouses this year. And we're going to do that, for one, because I'm going to help. I feel like that I have put the responsibility in other people's category, in other people's courts, and I have not helped meaningfully to see this happen, and it will happen this year. But we have a lot of initiatives that we're going to go. And this is just starting, because the Lord is going to speak to you and he's going to tell you that he wants you to start looking. And then he's going to tell you to do something. And some of these things will be church things, but most of these things will just be things that God tells you to do because they're needs that he shows you that he wants you to meet to bring the kingdom to. And so they don't need to be institutional. They just need to be decentralized and meaningful, bringing the kingdom. Does that make sense? So what am I asking? I'm asking that you would make a commitment. I don't believe that pray, grow, and go does anything in itself. It doesn't. They're just words. They're just concepts. Pray, grow, and go. You'll hear me say this, I hope, thousands of times in this year, but pray, grow, and go is all about us as a body joining arms, learning how to pray together. And I want to ask you to make a commitment. If you are not a strong prayer, there's only one way to get there. It's by getting on the playing field and learning. There's going to have to be one time where you pray out loud for the first time, and you may go down in flames. And it's okay. I did. I went down in flames the first time. But I want to ask you to get on the playing field and become a praying person, both in your personal life and then as we incorporate prayer in our church services, when we say, I want you to break up into groups of six, I want to ask that you would just jump in and start praying and just do the best that you've got right then and there. You don't wait for somebody else, I wonder who will pray first. It's like you just take the initiative. I want to ask that you would commit to grow. To grow as a disciple. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that actually it's more than just getting saved and going to heaven. But that's the truth. And everything in the New Testament supports what I'm saying. Everything. Not just a little bit. And so I'm asking you to get on the grow playing field to be a disciple. To get on the grow playing field to grow in community with other people. To grow the community by being a bringer and includer. By starting to see the people that God has already put in your life as people that he wants his kingdom to come into their lives through you. Bring them and include them. And we'll love them. And grow in mission. That is go. Get a go mentality. Let people like Margaret and Christina and different ones of us who already have a grow mentality just rub up against us. But this is what we're going to do this year. I'm asking you to make that commitment. Will you make that commitment? I'm going for the ask. I don't do this a lot, but I want to ask that you would commit to those three things right now. And as you do, that then you begin to put your energy and your time behind it. Because everything that I've said will take energy and it will take time. Amen? Let's stand. Father, as individuals and as a people, we come and stand before your throne of grace. And I want to ask that you would, for all of us here, that you would just see that we are standing before God's throne together. Lord, I ask you that you would allow us with one voice and with one heart to be able to respond to this, what you're saying to us, that you want us to be a praying persons and a praying church. And so we say to you with that, yes, we will do that. Would you say that to the Lord? Yes, I will do that. I will become a praying person and we will become a praying church. Would you say something like that? Use your own words. But say it to the Lord. Your words matter. And Lord, before your throne right now, we just say to you, Lord, that we re-up our commitment to be people that are growing. And that are growing in discipleship. And just tell the Lord, I commit to grow as a disciple this year. Say it to him. Say it to him so that you know that you have said it and he knows that you have said it. Lord, we commit ourselves to grow as disciples and we commit ourselves to take steps further into community this year. Say it in your own words, but say it to the Lord. I commit to becoming more of a community and me doing my part to do it. And Lord, we commit to seeing the people that you put into our lives as people for whom you died and you want to bring into your family. And we see these seats and we want to see them filled with those people. So help us to grow the community, the family. And Lord, we want to grow in mission. And I want to say to you with what the prophet Isaiah said at the end after he had this tremendous experience with God. The Lord said to him, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Would you say that with me? Here am I, send me. Once more, here am I, send me. And the Lord said to him, go and tell this people. And so, Lord, we receive these words that you have given us, and I feel very comfortable in saying, this is not my vision, this is your vision. And so I want to ask you, Lord, that your will would be done with us this year. That you would take us from where we are, and that you would take us by the hand and move us into your kingdom territory, into this great land that you have destined us for. Jesus, I pray that today is the start of a fire that burns more and more and more. I pray this in your name.